Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Maundy Thursday. If you've ever wondered where we get the Maundy from, it's easy to say Maundy, but it's not Maundy. It's Maundy Thursday. And it comes from the Latin, from what I understand at least, mandatum, which means commandment. We get that name for tonight, for this day, because traditionally we read in John's Gospel, which is very interesting that John leaves out the institution of the Lord's Supper, but he does include this part where he gives this new commandment after Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. And he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, that doesn't sound like a new commandment, if you really think about it, on the face of it at least. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Now, that is not necessarily new, because in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the love is the fulfillment of the law, right? You are to love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself, right? That's nothing new. What is new is when Jesus says, "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." It's no wonder then that we say, well, then how is this possible? How did Jesus love us? Well, I don't have all the time in the world. I don't want to take all the time in the world, but it suffices to say just very directly that God shows his love in us by sending his Son to die for us. Point blank, very simple. To say it even more, I guess, with more words and hopefully more pointedly, that Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. John's Gospel says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there in the beginning, you know, and it says, and that all things that were made through him. That's a wonderful mystery, that by the Word of God, when he spoke things into creation, that is a work of the Father and the Son working in tandem together with also God the Holy Spirit there as well, breathing life into all things too. But to focus on the Father and the Son is the one through whom the world has been made. Yes, the Father is the Creator, but it's through the Son that everything is spoken into creation. And the one through whom the world was made became like those who plunged all of that beautiful creation into sin and death through disobedience. He became like us so that he could save the likes of us. That is how God has loved us. That is how Jesus Christ has loved us, that he humbled himself to the point of being a servant, not just in healing people and preaching God's word, but in going farther and actually dressing like a servant to wash the dirtiest parts of his disciples. In the ancient world, the feet were the dirtiest part. You didn't have socks and boots, you know, to stay nice and clean while you're walking through the mud and the dirt, and also the other things that happen to fall on the road when you have camels and horses and donkeys and things like that, right? That part of the body is filthy, and the Lord of all creation humbles himself to clean that part of his followers' feet. He does this to show that the Son of Man does not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for all people. He shows his love in his cross, in his passion, his suffering, his death, and ultimately his resurrection to new life. And in all of those things, the all-encompassing picture of salvation in Jesus Christ, the death and the resurrection, in those wondrous deeds, we now have ways that God, through Jesus Christ, continues to show his love to us. He washes us clean in baptism. He washes us clean by the blood of the Lamb. When we gather and we confess our sins, God sends a servant in the likes of a pastor to pronounce that you are now forgiven of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, if that wasn't enough, God gives us further love in giving the very body and blood of Christ himself to eat and to drink in this blessed meal. He does all this to go above and beyond in showing that he loves you. He does all this to strengthen you because we are weak. And this meal is not for people who think that they are strong. This meal is for people who trust that God says what it is and believes what he says that it is, right? That when he says that it is the body and blood of Christ, we say, amen. I don't understand how, but I believe that it is. And it's for people who come saying, because he says that this is for the forgiveness of sins, I'm a sinner. And I need that. I need that in my life. Because without that, without the forgiveness of sins, I'm dead. I'm a goner. So we come, and we come because he calls us to receive these wonderful gifts. And now when we receive these gifts, the question sometimes becomes, now what? Now that I've been given all these great gifts, what comes next, right? So from this, Jesus makes it very plain. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by that, by the love shown to other people, because of what Christ has done for you, by that, all people will know that you are his disciples if you have love for one another. So that's very plain. Love each other. Where do we start? Well, that's a good question. Most times people say, well, are we to love everybody and all people all the time at the same time? Well, that gets a little tricky, right? It's a little hard to do. Thankfully, our Lord makes it clear through the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5. He is very pointed, and he tells that young pastor Timothy, he says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's pretty strong words, right? Pretty strong language. But that is to say that if you are a Christian and you don't take care of your own, what business do you have of taking care of other people, right? If there are people in your life, in your household, in your near vicinity, if you don't have anybody in your household, who is in your household of faith, in your church, that needs your love, that needs your service, that needs you to fulfill the love of Christ in their lives? Those are the people that we go for first and foremost. And then once we've dealt with those people and helped them to the best of our abilities that God has given us freely, then we can worry about the others, right? That sounds kind of selfish and maybe contrary to what the world would have us think, that we have to take care of everybody all over the world at the same time, no matter what. It's just not possible, and God knows it, and he makes it clear. So I want to make sure that we have some practical words here tonight about how we are to love each other. Jesus washed the feet of the ones that were right in front of him. Right? They were the ones who were right there. So therefore, God has given you people that are right in front of you for you to serve and to love and to show the love of Christ to. So we humble ourselves in service out of love, not because we want to merit the attaboys and the thanks, but because Christ has done so much for us that it is nothing for us to stoop down and to humble ourselves and serve those who need it, right? In a lot of ways, this blessed meal of Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, it's so profound. I'm just barely going to scratch the surface of it tonight, but you heard at the beginning in the address that I made during the confession and absolution that this is a picture of the church in the bread and the wine. These are signs, right? Now, hear me very clearly. They're not symbols. They're signs. Signs point to things, right? Signs point to things. The bread and the wine point to the fact that before bread can be made bread, what is it? It's grain. And all the grains are separate and distinct from each other, just like we are apart from Christ. But in the grinding, in the pain, in the persecution, in the carrying of the cross that Christians go through together, we are ground into a flour, and therefore we can't really be distinguished from one to the other. We are all one in Christ. So likewise, the wine that is on that table started out as a bunch of grapes, distinguishable, different from each other. You could just pick one out and say, well, there goes that one, not part of the group at all. But once they are crushed, once they are ground in the cross, the affliction, once they are stomped on, to be blunt, then the wine flows forth and they are all mingled together and you can't divide them at all. They all become one drink, right? And so likewise, we are all one in Christ. We are all together in Christ. We have all been loved by Jesus in the same way. So let us also love each other. That as Jesus says, take, eat, take, drink of me, so we should go to each other and say, take, eat, take, drink of me. Right? Whatever I can do for you, I want to do. I want to love you. I want to help you. So, as the body of Christ, we are to love each other sacrificially out of the love that has been poured out and poured into us through Christ and his sacrifice, which we proclaim in this holy meal that we are about to partake. And as we partake of it, let us ponder the love which flows from the cross to this table and from this table to you and from you to others. Ponder how that love that flows from Jesus directly to you through this meal may flow out to those closest to you in word and in deed. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.